Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 19, and beginning at verse 41, says, when he was come near the city, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now, the verses previous to this particular verse bring forth how Jesus came to Jerusalem, and people were shouting Hosanna to the Lord and laying palm branches down before him to come in. They were praising him. Of course, people were very fickle. A few days later said, crucify him, crucify him. But at this point, Jesus beholds Jerusalem, and it says that he wept over it. Now, there's two records of Jesus weeping, this one and also in John 11 when Mary and Martha didn't believe on him as the resurrection and the life. And they were saying, Lord, if you had been here, our brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. And it says that he wept. And that's because it grieves the heart of God if we have unbelief. He's provided so much for us, but we need to believe God, believe his word, receive it, act upon it, and he can work in our life. And there are some things that grieve the Spirit of God. It says in Ephesians, not to grieve him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And unbelief grieves him because it ties his hands from working. In Luke 19, this particular scripture, he was grieved because they didn't see the hour of salvation. They didn't see what God had. They missed what God was doing. And these verses go on, and he spoke because of them missing out on what he had or God's work there in bringing the Savior, because they were missing out on that judgment. I'm just putting in a nutshell here. Judgment was going to come upon them and the city would be destroyed. But down at verse 45, it says, because they didn't know the time of their visitation. Here was the nation of Israel. They were raised up for such a time as this. They were raised up to be the prophetic voice, to bear witness to the Christ. And that through them, the Gentiles, the nations of the earth, all families of the earth be blessed as it was promised to Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. And so they did not know the time of their visitation. It's very, very important that we recognize what God's doing in the moment and respond to him. There are times you can miss out on what he has for you. I believe that God wants to edify you and you coming here. I believe that, or I wouldn't be anything more than a hireling doing what I'm doing. I believe God gives me a word to share with you. If you're a part of this body, there's a word to share with you as a corporate group. And then there'll also be things come for each individual. That can only be done by the Spirit. Man can't do that from his intellect or mind. I don't know what you need to hear today, but God does. So there'll be a word in general and then a word specific to you. Guess what? If you don't show up, you miss it. You miss what he had. Now, that's on a real simple weekly basis. But there are times and seasons in the Lord where he's doing certain things, and sometimes people miss what he had. And it's so grievous to him. Jesus gave his life to freely give us all the blessings of salvation. So it grieves him if you know, he can't impart that to us. And it's very important we recognize the times and we're where we need to be with our attention on him and for what he wants to do in our life. You know, the day of Pentecost, Jesus told the disciples 10 days before that to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Ghost to come and power shall come upon them to be a witness. Now, Jesus appeared to over 500, it says in 1 Corinthians. Yet only 120 obeyed that word and were in the place they needed to be in that moment of time. Yes. So 3 out of 4 people were not where they needed to be and missed the day of Pentecost. I jokingly say God made our feet point out, because you'd be kicking yourself in the rear end. You miss out on something like that. Can't really do that. I can't kick myself in the rear end. But if your feet were turned around, maybe you could do that. It's very, very sad when you miss something that was great just to begin with, but then to miss what God has. And some things you can't get back necessarily. There are times you miss out on certain things. Like if you have a child, there are different things happening through their whole stage of growth. And if you're not around for a year, you miss maybe when they started to walk or they started to talk. And you would possibly grieve over that because of something that you missed out on that was supposed to be there for you to enjoy. Well, the nation of Israel had all that prophetic word, yet the majority of them missed the fact that the Savior had come, and now he's about to be offered up. He's coming to Jerusalem to be offered up, and they missed out on that. They missed it. It's a very frustrating thing to have happen. I've determined I don't want to miss anything God has for me. I want to be where he needs me to be, where he wants me to be, doing what he wants me to do. I've had times already where I had a prophetic word for someone and they leave church early. Guess what? They didn't get that word. I remember one brother, a specific word would administer to him. He got offended and left, never came back. Missed something that God had. You have people that knew it was ordained of the Lord they'd be here, be a part of a fellowship, and for whatever reason get offended and drift off or backslide or whatever. And there's things the Lord was bringing forth that they could have been a part of, and they miss out on it. So we want to determine, I don't want to miss anything that he has for me. That's the determination that I have for myself personally. And it's my desire that that be strong within you as well. I don't want to miss what he has. If we're just going about our own business, our own affairs, just seeking out the pleasures of this life, you will miss what he has. Now, I share at times about the last great harvest, the end time harvest. We are so deep into the end times now. The end's getting very, very close, which is a good thing. It's all in the timeline of God. But there's going to be a great harvest of souls at the very end. And something came to me, I don't know, like a week or two ago, where this message is coming out from, that as it was when Jesus came the first time, so it will be when he comes a second time, that there would be many who would miss even his coming, but many miss that which he would want to do in that last great harvest. And this last great harvest, it's not that everyone's going to get saved. We may not even see a lot of that around here. We may or we may not. It all depends on the desire in people, whether they're going to continue to pursue pleasure and money or whether they're going to have a heart that cries out to know the living God. Because those that are just going about their merry way, money and pleasure, pride, money, pleasure, God can be moving right in front of their face and they'll miss it. They won't even see what he's doing. When Jesus was walking in the earth, God in the flesh, God taking on man, doing miracles among them, right before their eyes. Yet many didn't see it was him. And many were Pharisees, Sadducees, different religious people. They were so blinded by their religion and their people blinded by their lust for political power. They're called the Herodians. You know, everything was about politics for them. They would side up with Herod because they could get favor and, you know, maybe a promotion or better pay or whatever. by way of political affiliation. There's people doing that today. Politics is everything to them. It's very alarming to me when a pastor focuses more on politics than Jesus Christ. And there are people doing that, by the way. And that's because you begin to believe a lie that man can somehow change things of his own by his own power. No, it's only by the power of God that hearts are changed. Change needs to happen in here, not all around us in the outside. We don't seek to create a utopia in this world, but rather love and joy and peace is to be received in us, the kingdom of God within us. Hallelujah. Well, there'll be some who the move of God will be happening and they miss it. And it's always been this way. You know, God used Noah to preach to everyone. You know, only he and his family got in that ark. There's only 8 who really heard what God was saying. The rest missed out on it, that great deliverance. And throughout history, there's been different revivals and move of God, and some whole groups of people would miss what was right in front of them. And when you do that, you tend to drift off into the world even more. God has appointed times of visitation. He may have a time where in your life you're in a hardship and he's desiring to reveal himself and manifest himself. And he's tugging at your heart to come aside, to fast and pray and to do nothing but seek him and to hear from God. And it's an appointed time. But if you just continue about the ways of this natural life, you miss it and then wonder where God is. God's waiting for you someplace. We need to know where God is and wait there. I'm reminded of another dog story. My first dog, Mitch, he was half fox terrier. And my father and I, we went to play golf, a golf course, and took Mitch with us. He liked to run along, and there's lots of trees there. Plenty for a boy dog to do. And anyway, we finished, and we left. We went home, and it was dark now. It's night. And I said, "Where's Mitch? Where's Mitch?" And we realized he's back at the golf course. Now, this was probably like 5 hours later. We drove back. And there he was sitting at the last place my feet touched the earth, where the car was sitting. He's sitting there waiting. We need to be like old Mitch and sit and wait for our master to come back. Sit and wait for him to come and speak to us, to receive us to himself. You know, there's times he would ordain and desire for us to come aside and hear from him. And you just sit and wait till you do. You wait till he comes. Well, I don't want to miss the day of my visitation. And I really believe in these end times that the happening thing, because see, things throughout the Bible wouldn't happen the way people would think. Throughout the whole Bible, you see it over and over again. When Jesus came, he didn't fit their thinking. They thought, well, he'd come as a king. He came out of Galilee, out of poverty. He didn't fit their thinking. He wasn't of nobility. He didn't even look the part, according to the book of Isaiah. There was nothing about him that was desirable in the flesh. But those who had a heart and an eye to see in the spirit could see the Christ was in him. He was the Christ, God in him. They could see that. So they missed what he had. And this end time, the gospel is going to be taken to the unreached people groups of the world. And there are many. If you study the missionary work of God over the centuries, initially it was more like in seacoast cities. Paul's time, even up till like the 1800s, along the seacoast, and I went inland more so in cities and throughout inland. But now there are remote people or people in areas that are not real touched by civilization yet, so to speak, that have not heard the gospel. Your brother Alan was just there a week ago. Places, India, China, Africa, South America, all over. And you're going to be seeing, or there's going to be, what's going to be done is multitudes hear the gospel and get saved. And it'll be many miracles and healings taking place. But many in the body of Christ are going to miss that because they're trying to build their own tower of Babel, make a name for themselves. That's what I mean by that. They're trying to build something in the eyes of man rather than go out. Now, it's not for all of us to go out to an unreached area. But it is for us to be a part of it, supporting it, to be praying for it, to be giving toward it, to have relationship with people. And Brother Pradeep was just here. What God's releasing him into is unreached peoples in Sri Lanka, in the middle of the country there. And he's having the time of his life, seeing God move there. You know, coupling the power of God and taking food as well. Because when you show forth the love of God, people might be inclined to listen to what you have to say. You don't do any good preaching at people, preaching at them, if you don't have their ear, if you don't have their heart. In fact, all you do is just drive a wedge between them, between you and them. But rather, as we show forth the love of God, they'll begin to consider and pay attention to what you'd have to say, which is about whom you are going to speak, Jesus Christ. And then the signs and wonders follow the word of God, follow the preaching of the word. Now, we have relationships with people that are doing that as a church. But there are many who have no relationship, no affiliation with those going to those othermost part of the earth. So they could easily think, well, God's not moving. Maybe he's just not moving in your circle. Because there are a lot of people who have hardened hearts. And the scripture is very plain. At the end time, there would be sort of like two sides. Those that are hard and those who receive Christ. And there'll be less and less middle ground. And then when the Lord returns, there are some who will be taken up and some who will not. Jesus spoke on quite a few occasions of that particular truth. Some would be taken up and some would remain. You have the parable of the 10 virgins where they were waiting for the bridegroom to come because their assignment was to escort the bride and the groom to the groom's place of residence. The groom, and culturally, would go to the home of the parents of the bride, and they would consummate the marriage and then go to the bride's home where they would set up the groom's home, the man's home, where they were going to begin their family. And what they would have is the virgins carrying a lamp lighting the way as they were to travel. And the parable of the 10 virgins, this is in Matthew chapter 25. Five were wise, five were foolish. The five wise had filled their lamp with oil, and the five foolish didn't. Their lamps burn out while the groom delayed in coming. They went to get more oil then, and the groom came and they missed it. They missed what their assignment was, what they were to do, because they were not prepared for it. Now, the truth we want to draw from that is we need to stay full of the Holy Ghost, the oil, and we need to continue to be a light and continue in the work of God, in the will of God, the ways of God, walking with him, to continue with him so we don't miss what he has. And there's times, there's things he wants to do in us and through us, and we could so easily miss it. Sometimes you need a real determination in your heart to be where he wants you to be so you can do what he wants you to do. I'm reminded, I'll tell this story, reminded of when we went to Hungary and then Serbia and Romania back in 1993. And we flew into Budapest, Hungary, and was going to be a part of a trip with Bible school students from Sweden. And they had a boat. They were going to float down they call it the Donau. We call it the Danube River. And stop along the way doing evangelistic meetings. So this was the last night they were going to be there. And we arrived and had to try to find, I didn't know where they were at. So we set out and began to walk, looking for the Holy Spirit to lead us to where they were, because I didn't want to miss what God had on that trip. And he led us to them. Now, Budapest is a city of over 1 million people. We're not talking about York. It's a big city. But by the Holy Ghost, we came to where they were. And we were there in a meeting. And they said, well, we weren't able to get your visa. We're leaving tonight. Tomorrow, you'll have to go to the embassy and get like a visa and then meet us down in this next city, which was like a 6-hour drive away. And we did that. So again, not wanting to miss what God had, we had to find them, and everything was in Hungarian, all the signs, the trains, and all that. I don't read Hungarian, not a word. And here, Holy Ghost told us when to get off the train. And way off in the distance, you could see a city. So we come out, it's like, well, I don't want to miss what God has. And we're standing there, this little train station, it's like a little, it'd be smaller than this room, little bus stop type of thing. And there's some buses coming. It's like, no, don't get on there, don't get on there. So finally, we're standing outside, and a taxi pulls up. And the Holy Ghost said, get in that taxi. So we get in, and we're sitting there, and the cabbies want to know where we want to go. And here's a flyer on the dash that somebody gave out for the meeting. So I picked that up and said, there. They took us right to it. So we get to the meeting. And I said, well, we couldn't get your visa to Serbia. They were going to be there like another day. He said, you're going to have to go back up to Budapest, go to the Serbian embassy, go in, and you demand for a visa. Now, I'm an American, and a war's going on right then in Serbia. But since you're here, we want you to do some meetings here. It's like Friday night. They're leaving after the meeting. We want you to do like Saturday, Sunday meeting. And we arranged it with the mayor of the city. You can use this meeting hall down there. Like, okay. So now nobody knows there's going to be a meeting. And, okay, I don't want to miss what God has. We walked for miles until I finally found a telephone that worked. Communism destroys everything. We ended up in this bar, and there was a wedding going on, and there's food piled, like 3 8-foot tables long, food piled. I mean, they were going to have a feast. And you had the Lawrence Welk music. And I'm in the kitchen on the phone, calling home. I said, Donna, you tell everyone, I command them to pray for us right now. I don't know if she related it the way I said it, but that's how I said it to her. You tell them, I command them to pray. We need prayer now. So we hiked back to this campgrounds where they put us. Didn't sleep that night because there was a jukebox there and people were playing. There was three songs on that jukebox. One was Born to Be Wild, and it played all night. I mean, just so loud. Born to be wild. So the next day we're there. I'm thinking, Lord, you know, we're supposed to have these meetings, and no one knows there's going to be a meeting. So I'm sitting there on a picnic table playing my guitar and worshiping. And I hear another voice. And there's this little lady sitting on the ground in front of me. And I stopped and she goes, Derry Prince, Kenneth Hagin, Benny Hinn. I couldn't believe it. She didn't speak any English, but apparently she heard of these preachers. And this thought come to my mind. I don't want to miss what God has. This thought comes. Someone gave me a pocket Hungarian New Testament. And I was able to find John 3:16. And I pointed to her. And because there was a song of Mike Dacey's that I played. God so loved the world he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That song. And I got her phonetically to teach us that in Hungarian. And as far as I believed, we were singing in Hungarian, John 3:16. And we go downtown and started to stand outside of like bus stops and street side cafe and everything, singing John 3:16 in Hungarian. I thought I was singing Hungarian. I tried that once before in Poland. We were there. And try to get this brother to teach me that in Polish. And so we're in a meeting. I start saying, I think I'm singing this in Polish. And there's probably like 50 people sitting in there. It's again, a large home. And they all start laughing, rolling on the floor laughing. Oh, the Holy Ghost must be getting poured out here. Now, the thing was, I wasn't singing what I thought I was singing. Because some languages, just little differences, pronunciation changes everything. But I thought I was singing John 3:16. Well, anyway, we held up one of these flyers and point, you go there tonight. Point, you know. Because there were very few people there could speak English because the Russians didn't allow it. People could defect easier. So anyway, we that evening we go to this place, and we're in there, and we're worshiping. And there's a few people showing up, and you know, more people showing up. And I'm standing there, like, Lord, I don't have an interpreter. Where's my interpreter? So I felt to walk outside of the building. And I went out and stood along the street. Near like the town square. I'm standing out here by myself. Everybody else is inside. There's probably 150 people in there now. Waiting. And no one can speak Hungarian. And so I'm standing there and this car comes speeding up the street. Pulls over and two guys jump out of the car. They begin to run towards me. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And this guy comes up and says in English, you the preacher? I said, yeah. God sent me to interpret for you. So we go in and preach. He was a doctor. He lived an hour away. He didn't have a car. God told him while he was praying to go, there's an American down in Dunedin Forest waiting to preach. You need to go interpret. So he didn't even have a car. And this guy had came over to see him, was just saved. His name was Willie. And he had a speech impediment, but he had a car. It was a broken down, barely make it type of vehicle. But he drove there as fast as he could. So he take me to Dunedin Forest now. So this guy drives him there an hour. And they pull up, we go in, preach, and these people got saved. Afterward, we went back to the camp place. And this brother, Willie, he had a speech impediment. And we prayed for him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, is he speaking Hungarian or what's he speaking? Oh, he's speaking in tongues, brother. He was free. He was praising God. He picks up my guitar. It's the funniest thing. Picks up my guitar and starts to play Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. That was the only thing he knew that seemed spiritual to him. I said, no, that's not a godly song. But here were these series of moments I could have missed. You have to have a determination to be where he wants you to be, to do what he wants you to do. And you let nothing stop you if you know he wants you to do something. I knew that was the will of God. Could have missed all these blessings. If this guy Willie wouldn't have been willing to drive his car, he would have missed the day of visitation where he got filled with the Holy Ghost and was healed. Because he literally couldn't talk right and was healed. He could speak proper then. So many, and I wonder sometimes how many times I might have missed the time of God, the visitation. Because there's times he could ordain for you to witness, to be a witness to somebody. There's a moment in time you encounter someone. Now, we call that divine appointments, you know, where he'll arrange where you are encountering somebody. It's a moment in time. It might be their moment, their hour. Remember once there was a couple were taken to water baptize, and we decided we're going to go down to Otter Creek, down where it empties into the river. That's a place a lot of partiers used to hang out and stuff. But prior to that, I was doing masonry work, and I kept seeing this man. He was a carpenter, and I knew his son. I knew him from before I was saved in high school. He was a partier. So every day I'd see this guy, and I pray for his son, Larry. I see him, I think of Larry, I pray for Larry. So we're going to do this water baptism, and we get down there, and right when we pull in, and there's all cars all over, people, and party, you know, smoking pot, stuff like that, there, and they walk up along the creek there and party. As soon as I pull in, there's Larry, pulls in. Larry says, hey, you know, what are you doing? Oh, we're going to have a water baptism. Oh, that's cool. I said, you want to come along? Yeah, I'll come along. So we're walking up through this path, passing people along the way, drinking beer and smoking pot, stuff like that, looking for a place where there's a deep enough pool of water away from all those people. The whole way up the path to sharing Jesus with Larry. And when we got there, I said, well, okay, we're going to do water baptism. Are you going to be baptized too, Larry? Yeah. You see, that was a moment in time for him. Had I not been obedient to be where I needed to be, doing what I needed to do at that moment in time, who knows what would have happened? Sometimes people might be their last chance, their last opportunity. You just don't know. When my son Jesse was in Fort Hood, he was there when the nut guy killed 12 U.S. soldiers. The Muslim guy killed 12 U.S. soldiers on the base. He was supposed to be in the room when it happened. The last moment, a sergeant took him over, you know, to the side. But one of the young men who was killed, God arranged for Jesse to witness to him the night before. And he shared the gospel with this young man. Now, what he did with it, I don't know. That was his last chance. Sometimes people think, well, I'll do that later. Might be your last chance. You don't know that. You can't assume life's just going to be the way you think it ought to be in terms of length of days or anything else. We need to have a sensitivity in the spirit to be where he wants us to be and to do what he wants us to do. And as we're walking in that way, we don't miss what he has. You know, there's been various moves of God over the years, and many believers would miss what he had. They miss certain moves of God. I remember Brother Sumrall sharing how he kept moving on from move to move. He didn't get stuck somewhere, get off in like a religious thing over a move of God. And he just kept going forward, moving on. He didn't want to miss anything that God had for him. Well, there's two people in the book of Luke who didn't miss what God had. Two in particular I want to point out. And it's in Luke chapter 2. And it starts at verse 22, where it's speaking here of Jesus, the babe being brought into the temple for a dedication and a purification. And Joseph and Mary, they bring Jesus in. It says down here, verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, I want you to notice this. He was very devoted to the Lord. He had a relationship with the Lord. He was committed. He was devoted. And he was waiting for the revelation of the Savior, or the manifestation of the Savior. He knew in his spirit the time was at hand, the Christ was going to come. He knew that. As it goes on, it says that it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost he would not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he knew enough to know that when the Christ was born, they would bring him to the temple, because his parents would follow after the law, and that they would have brought him to the temple. So he was continuing to look and watch for that which would be the Savior come, the Christ come. It says he came by the Spirit into the temple. And they brought him in. He came by the Spirit, and a child was brought in. He took him in his arms and blessed God and said, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He knew there was a great event to happen yet, and that was the coming of the Lord. His role was to be a witness that, yes, this child is born, the Christ is here. Now, there were others who bore witness to that. God always establishes a witness. You want to learn to look for the witness. Don't do things or make decisions apart from the witness of the Holy Ghost. In other words, you say, well, I think he spoke to me. Was there a witness? Jesus spoke of John the Baptist being a witness to him, his works being a witness, and the scriptures being a witness as to who he was. He had those witnesses. So here, Simeon, he said, well, I can, my role is fulfilled. I can be taken up. I can die now. I can come to heaven. I've seen the Christ. My eyes have seen thy salvation. And he begins to prophesy about Jesus. As we go on, and it says there was another one, Anna the prophetess. And she was 84 years old. A widow of about 84, it says. And she understood what was happening. And she stayed. She didn't depart from the temple, but served God day and night with fasting and prayer. She stayed where God had her And she as well was looking for the Savior. Now, in the book of Daniel, if someone had an understanding in the book of Daniel, they could have known the year, literally known the year the Messiah was going to come. Maybe they understood this by that prophetic word. Maybe it was just a witness in their spirit. But in any case, Anna and Simeon were looking for the Lord. They believed the time was now. They really believed that. And it says, she coming in that instant gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So she recognized in her spirit, this is the Christ. She heard Simeon prophesying. And she began to thank God. The Savior's here. The Savior's here. And she's speaking to everyone who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She didn't speak to everyone. She spoke to the people looking for redemption. Now, the thing is, you can miss things if you're not looking for it. Maybe you drive down the road, someone says, oh, do you see that over there? And you didn't see it because you're looking out the other window. You miss what was there. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? They were looking to see the Savior. We're looking for his return. We're instructed to do so. To wait, to anticipate, I'll say it that way, to anticipate his return and to serve him day and night until that time and to speak of him and that redemption's in him and salvation's through him, to speak of him, to wait for him. What are you looking for? You know, there are people who are always searching for opportunities to invest money. Because they're looking for it, they'll find it. They'll see it. If you're not looking for that, you'll miss that. There are some of you might look for a good sale. You know, you're doing shopping right now, and you're looking for a good sale. So it used to be, I don't know if you still do this much, but send out in the mail flyers. That'll email you. You know, get your email address and send out advertisements. But people look for a good deal. Do I have any serious shoppers here? You're from York, so you all look for a good deal. That's part of the DNA if you live around here. You look for that good deal, and you find that good deal, and you rejoice. And you want to tell somebody, hey, my wife always likes to do that. Like if she goes shopping and say, hey, you know, I got this sweater 70% off. It's like, yeah, praise the Lord. Looking for a good sale. Looking for something special. Well, we need to be looking for him. Whether it's the opportunity to witness, whether it's the opportunity ministry-wise, an opportunity to serve, to be a blessing, looking for that opportunity. Waiting for that opportunity. Not wanting to miss it. I love when my granddaughters ask a spiritual-minded question because I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. And then sometimes, you know, they'll ask a certain question and I'll go off on a rattle. And after a while, I'll say, you know, we're supposed to be getting them home now to shut this down, to be continued. If you don't seek, you're not going to find. If we're not in pursuit after God, we're not going to really lay hold of him. And we in turn miss out on what he has, and it grieves his heart. Because such a great price was paid to freely provide salvation to each one of us. To give us all the blessings of the new covenant and the old covenant as well. He loads us daily, a psalm says, loads us daily with blessings. Looking for him. It says in Psalm 23, goodness and mercy shall follow or pursue you, overtake you all the days of your life. Are you expecting blessing to overtake you? Are you looking for that? Or are you expecting something bad? I cringe when I hear people say, well, just my luck. Yeah, bad things happen to me. I cringe at that. If that's what you're expecting, that's what you're going to get. But begin to expect God to reveal himself, to manifest himself, to bring forth blessing manifest into your life. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue you, overtake you, overwhelm you. And then Ephesians 3:20 comes into effect that he's able to do above what we could ask or think according to the power working in us. That power is working in you according to your faith and your confession and what you're acting upon. The power of God work in you. And he can do above and beyond. We should expect the unexpected in terms of good rather than expect evil. Expect bad things. Expect good things. Looking for him, waiting upon him. Well, we have Simeon and Anna, led by the Spirit, looking for the Lord, looking to see the salvation of God, because they knew something in their spirit. It was time. We're in these end times, and God wants to move and bring the harvest of souls into the kingdom of God. He needs us to be available and willing. If we're too busy, too caught up in the affairs of this life, we'll miss it. We don't want to miss what he has.